The scripture reading for this morning you will find in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalms 139. Psalm 139. The word of the Lord. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the light night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hide not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, within continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us pray. Lord, that this morning that we may pause for a moment in the business of our lives, and that the reflection of your word is a blessing to all of us. That your word might transform us again and again, and also this morning, so that we might be a blessing to those around us in the society in which you have given us a place. So lead us by your Spirit in your word, and lift us up for a moment, and direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Where was God? That was a question that many asked on that fateful day 18 years ago. The day when a perfect blue sky morning turned into the blackest of nights. September 11, 2001. That day that the heart of America's identity, might, the government, military, money, was severely crushed with the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and possibly the intended attack on the White House. Where was God when a husband and father on the 110th floor of one of the Twin Towers called his wife to say goodbye? And he said, "Honey, I'm not going to make it, but I'm ready to go." And she tried to understand his words as he realized that he was not coming home that night. Where is God? It's maybe even a question that you ask yourself even while in seminary. When the stress of study overwhelms you, your heart, your mind is full of theology, but your heart is empty. Where is God? Does he know? Are my prayers heard? Or only by the walls? Is he near? Or somewhere distant? Only watching? God's presence in life. And for the psalmist in 139, it was an inescapable fact and warning, but also a transformative joy and comfort. This living facts and warning and joy and comfort that God is everywhere present in my life. And theologians speak of the divine omnipresence, one of those incommunicable attributes of God, one of the characteristics, qualities of God, qualities possessed only by God. As the communicable attributes are possessed by God and us, such as knowledge and love and wisdom and mercy. But the incommunicable attributes belong to the Lord and Him alone. His omniscience is the all-knowing God. The omnipotence, the all-powerful God. And his omnipresence, that God is everywhere present. In fact, these three incommunicable attributes are mentioned in the psalm that we have read together. The verses 1 to 6 speaks of God's omniscience. The verses 13 to 18 of God's omnipotence. But in the center of these verses, and in particular, I think that is the thrust of this psalm, the verses 7 to 12 speaks of God's omnipresence. And the psalmist proclaims, we are surrounded by God's presence. And that is just not a doctrine, a teaching that we confess, but a practice for the psalmist. A practice to live by, a deep sense, a living reality in his life. I said that is an inescapable fact, because the psalmist attests that God is everywhere, because in the verses 1 to 6, he is an all-knowing God. And that speaks of the divine omniscience. He knows. He knows when I sit down and when I rise up. He discerns my thoughts from afar. He searches out my path and my laying down. And he is acquainted with all my ways. It is that David says, from the outside, wherever I go, that I am at home or that I travel, that I awake or that I am sleeping, or from the inside, my thoughts, my behavior, He says, Lord, thou knowest it all together. The past, the present, the future are known to him. Is that a comfort for you? Is that a comfort for you? That we are surrounded by his presence. Him that knows us better than we know ourselves. But the psalmist also speaks that the Lord is present everywhere because he is an all-powerful God, the divine omnipotence, the verses 13 to 18. And it's very remarkable that one of the most powerful displays, place of God's omnipotence, happens in secret. Verse 15. David contemplates on his own creation and development as a preborn child. And he acknowledges that God formed his organs. He reflects how his maker knitted him together, how the Lord embroidered him like an ornate work, how the creator saw his undeveloped form, how wonderfully and the all-powerful God is. And modern technology, how amazing as it is, has yet to create a transparent womb. And we get glimpses through sonograms and ultrasounds. But for the most part, the remarkable development of an unborn child is unseen except by God. And the psalmist attests in wonder, furthermore, that his body and soul, his whole life, I say, all my members were written in your book. My whole life is ordained for me by the Lord. Meaning, my life, your life, is in his plan. You are here on earth for a reason. But also, the Lord is in control. Yes, yes, even in times we don't see it, we worry and we are anxious about the now and the then. But just as told from the moment of birth to the moment of dying, the beginning and the end is in God's hand, and everything in between is sustained and upheld by this all-powerful God. So God is everywhere present by his knowledge, by his power, but also David attests in the verses 7 to 12 concerning God's omnipresence. And the psalmist raises a number of questions. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? In other words, where shall I go? Where shall I flee? But he realized he can't escape God's presence. He is everywhere present. Fleeing from his presence in the Hebrews, fleeing from his face. And the psalmist says, impossible to be out of his sight and his presence. He even probes further as a good student. He raises questions considering possibilities. If, four times, verse 8, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. His presence is also there. And then verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And the psalmist looked us to different options. If in height, ascended into heaven, in the depth, in the grave, from the east to the west, and take the wings of the morning, the sun rises in the east and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. The sea was on the west side of the land of Canaan. But with all those ifs, the psalmist has to conclude God is here and he is there. The Lord is everywhere present. On high, in the depth, from east to west. And I can't flee out of his sight and presence. Wherever I go, wherever I am, God is there. He is present everywhere. Surrounds you. As the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, and the everywhere present God in your and my life. Is that a reality in our life? A reality that is practiced in our life. And not only learned by catechism class or Sunday school, or that we confess as a biblical doctrine, but as a personal reality. Each morning that you awake, each day that is given to you, this living reality, the Lord is here. He is a real presence in my life. Because, friend, this inescapable reality that the Lord is everywhere present is also a warning when we realize that. In all that we say and do, and not say, and what we not do. And when we realize what the psalmist writes in verse 5, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. It's just the thought that in all and everything what I say, every word, verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest. Words spoken that should not have been spoken. Words spoken in haste and not tempered, instead of words spoken in patience, like a cold water to a weary soul. Just the thought in all our ways of life, in public and in private, God is there. Wherever I am, wherever I go. Does that give you to pause for a moment? Or do you try to flee from him? And maybe outwardly, exemplary life, church, Bible reading, prayers, even seminary. But inwardly, no need of him. Can be expressed in various ways, eh? Not agreeing with his word and ways in your life, or not living with this reality of his presence. Times in life that you go through the motions. Studying theology, studying for the gospel ministry, and it seems God is far, far, far away. The psalmist asks, whither shall I flee from thy presence? The same words that were used for Jonah the prophet. The Lord gave his word to Jonah on his way to Nineveh. But Jonah wants to flee from the presence of the Lord. That is this possible. Trying to live out of the presence of the Lord. Even God's people. And called to the ministry. To live a life. We choose what deems good to us instead of what pleases the Lord. This self-determining instead of seeking the Lord's will and way in my life. Maybe even sometimes in your life resistance. And maybe at the same time the cry of your heart that you need guidance in your life. And that you need to be upheld in your life. And that you long for what the psalmist says. Even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. That you need his leading and his holding. And you don't come to grips with it. Wel, he reached out his hand, his caring hand, his fatherly hand, his providing hand, his guiding hand. One last point before I move on. Our sin. And doing sin. In light of this word, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Do I have to elaborate? The confession, the Canons of Dort confesses that clearly. Although the power of God whereby he confirms and preserves the true believers in grace is so great that it cannot be conquered by the flesh, yet the converted are not always so led and moved by God that they cannot in certain particular actions turn aside to their own fault from the guidance of grace and be seduced by and yield to the lust of the flesh. When they do not watch and pray, they not only can be drawn away by the flesh, the world and Satan, into serious and atrocious sins, but with the right permission of God, are sometimes actually drawn away, as the lamentable fall of David and Peter and other saints described in the Holy Scripture. And by such sins, we greatly offend God, incur the guilt of death, grieve the Holy Spirit, suspend the exercise of faith, severely wound our conscience, and sometimes we lose the sense of God's favor. Until, and that is also what we confess, they return to the right way through the sincere repentance, and God's fatherly face again shines upon them. God's presence, that changes everything, transforms everything. Because we may ask, when David considers the omniscience of God, that God knows his whole life, wherever he is, wherever he goes, whatever he does and whatever he says, and still we hear David say in awe and wonder, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain it. When the psalmist sees the omnipotence of God, that this all-powerful God formed him and sustains and upholds him, and yet we hear the psalmist singing, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of God. Why is it that David can speak of the everywhere presence of the Lord, that it is to him that it is a light breaks through the darkness? Verse 12, even the darkness is not dark to him, the night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with God. Friends, that is the joy in this psalm. That is only and because of Christ. When he in the darkest hour, in the blackest of time, on the cross, no light, forsaken darkness, when he took the wrath of God, a wrath that you and I deserved, and in his mercy, we did not deserve anything, but he gave everything, his Son Christ and him alone. When Christ cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? When he did not experience the nearness and presence of his Father, so that you and I may experience God's presence forever. Yes, even at times when you question, where is God in all of this? At times when you wonder with C.S. Lewis, he seems so present, a commander in our time of prosperity, but he seems so very absent in a time of need and trouble. And therefore the more reason to take hold on his word, on Christ himself who promises, I am with you even unto the end of the world. With you, me. That is the miracle of grace. Always, wherever you live, wherever you go, to be in his presence. Oh friends, what an encouragement and what a comfort. And to be in his presence, and to know to be in his presence, and to experience his presence, are two things that belong together. It is like on a boat, being on a boat on a winding river around a mountain. And when you are on the river, from the point of view of the river, you may not always see the top of the mountain. When you go through dark canyons and winding curves and corners. But the one that is on the top of the mountain, he is ever near. And he sees what is going on. The struggles, the challenges, the dark canyons. That is God's presence. Going through life, with detours maybe, with dark canyons. But he sees you, even now. As he promised in his word, he is near. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Friends, God took all that he had to get near to you. His Son, who left a place of glory and who lived a life you and I should have lived. And he died a death you and I deserve and should have died. Who was forsaken by his Father, so that you and I are never forsaken by him, so that you may experience his nearness and have fellowship with him. As the apostle says, fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. His presence in union and communion with him. Does that not give you a joy and a comfort? This doctrine of God's presence, when you have taken refuge in Christ and him alone, he is willing, he is able to turn you black as of the night in a blue sky morning. This comfort and joy, whatever situation and difficulty you are in, the Lord is with you. He is presence. In all your cares and concerns, he is near, so that you can cast it all on him. When you go through the storms of life, but with Jesus on board, he is near. In times of spiritual darkness, he who is the light of the world is near. In prayer, he is present. To hear your prayer. Even the silent petitions and the cries of your heart, they are heard by him because he is near and he is present. If you have loss of loved ones, loss of friends and family, he is near. You cannot be bereaved of that friend Christ that is more than all. When you have moved from another country, from another place, he is here as he was there. The challenges in your studies, in the need and the need of direction of your life, consider this everywhere present God, of which the psalmist testified, your hand leads me, and your right hand shall uphold me. And when death comes, he is there. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. 9:11. 2019. Where is God? And I conclude this morning with the words of Jonathan Edwards, who preached on this same text. 24 years old, in September. And Edwards says here, if it be so that God is present everywhere, let us be exhorted to walk with God and to keep close to him and not depart from him. Let us endeavor to know God, to get acquainted with that being that we have our being in. Let us seek after spiritual union with God, reconciliation to him and his friendship and favor, that we may walk with him as a friend with a friend. Let us continually seek his gracious presence, that he may not only be essentially present with us, but present by the holy and sweet indwelling of his Spirit. And that in all our business, studies and affair, let us go to God and consult with him, to make known our case to him and commit our way to him, that he may direct our steps. And let us always behave ourselves as in the sight of God, shunning all evil and seeking and pursuing all good, conforming ourselves to the image of God, so that after we have walked with God here, God may take us, so that we may dwell with him forever in his glorious presence.